This episode is sponsored by Under Armour and their Infinite Elite Everyday Running Shoe, which I was lucky enough to head out to Barcelona and see being unveiled at its launch, and to chat to athletes like Sharon Nakidi, who won the New York Marathon a few years ago, who does all of her easy and steady runs in this pair of shoes. And then we've set Jess from the Running Channel a very specific challenge to train for 12 weeks for her fastest, hopefully ever, 10K, which is also back out in Barcelona.
Yeah, she is loving training in this shoe. And I think it's important as well, because we're so lucky we get to test lots of different shoes, but we do know that some people just want that one pair that will do everything. So Jess has been doing her long runs, interval sessions, and she will be tackling the final 10K in the Under Armour Infinite Elite shoes.
Yeah, big focus on endurance and a brand new foam, which provides extra energy return and looks after you on even your longest runs. So if you want to know more, head to the link in the show notes. This is the Running Channel podcast with me, Andy Badley, Sarah Hartley over here, and then nudist beach loving Rick Kelsey in the corner.
I never went to the nudist bar.
Well, it was just
the nudist bar.
It was a bar.
You can buy nudists.
It was on the rooftop. I never went. Ah. I didn't have dark enough sunglasses.
It was on
the
rooftop. So where do you get changed? Or did you just...
There's a nudist changing room, but I suppose what are you changing from too?
You know what I've been thinking about? You know our sock sock shoe shoe debate?
Oh yeah.
Doesn't apply to cyclists.
No.
Or to cyclists.
Slip-ons.
You could be a...
Why doesn't it apply to cyclists?
Because in the winter, a cyclist, they've got a whole other ball game. They could be sock, sock, shoe, shoe, sock, sock. They could be sock, shoe, sock, sock, shoe, sock. They could be shoe,
shoe, sock,
sock.
Because you put socks on over the outside of their shoes?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think many people wear socks over their shoes.
Not many. I was thinking because you've got clip-ons.
By the way, we're going to talk about hill training today.
Hill training.
If it's cold, have you ever put socks over the top of your... As in, like, not a sock.
I'm lost.
Like a thing that goes all over the top of your...
Like
if you're wearing like a cleat.
A windproof thing.
Yeah.
I haven't needed that. This is an interesting
really
start to a running podcast, isn't it?
All right, sorry. Let's dive into running.
Let's talk about some hills.
How's your week of running been, Rick?
Well.
Oh, gosh.
I've been on tour. I've realised, right, Andy's not done any run clubs. So we're doing the New Balance run clubs at the moment. So going around the country.
I have. I've been to Leeds.
Oh, you've been to one. You've been to one.
Yeah. And to Liverpool before Christmas.
Yeah, but that was a different set.
Oh.
That was a different set.
It still counts.
Go on, in this Rick, set. How many have you been to? Have a little brag.
Three.
Whoa.
How many have you
been
to?
Three. Two.
Two. All right, okay. And where were they?
London and Dublin.
Anyway, they're really good fun. They're really good fun. So we've been going around the country doing these run clubs, and I've actually been learning a lot. So we've been doing like a talk beforehand.
Yeah.
Do you know what? As runners, we rarely talk about actually what stretches we should be doing beforehand. When you go to parkrun on a Saturday, or when you go to a 5, 10K, a running festival, you don't see that many people doing stretches. Because stretching, right, we were all told the wrong thing for donkey's years when we were at school. Until about 10 years ago, everybody says... Everybody changed the rules, essentially, that we should be doing dynamic stretches instead of static stretches. So one of the run clubs that we went to, Manchester, the one in Liverpool turned into a rave, by the way.
That was amazing.
Good. Yeah. The one in Manchester. What,
such what a little at? Monologue.
It's like
you're literally someone... asking yourself questions and answering. Which one was it? Oh, yeah, Manchester. That was right. Did I tell you in Liverpool?
Tell someone you've got ADHD without telling me about ADHD.
No, it was really useful. So we did... pre-run routine where we did, you know, like three really useful exercises. So like hip flexor, I wrote these down just in case I've forgotten.
You know, that's lateral not an exercise, lunge, that's a thing.
And walking lunge.
What did you do with your hip flexors?
Do you not watch any of the videos on the Running Channel?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've covered this.
I watched the ones that I'm in.
Yes, exactly. That's the problem. Yeah. And interestingly, we did do a video years and years ago, which has had millions of views on YouTube about everything you should do before a run.
You should do this before every run.
Yeah, and we did include... Slightly controversially, actually, but it is a while ago now.
Did Anna do that?
I think myself and Anna, yeah. And it was a small number of they were kind of more activations than static stretches.
Right.
But like the advice now would probably not to do those at all. But when we spoke to physios at the time, there was some discussion about the fact
It's changed again.
No, you're right. What you've said is right. I'm saying that when we did a video about this about 5 years ago,
right,
we included some initial static stretches, which were more like mobilizing if you've been stiff and standing around or sitting down all day. But you probably now best practice might not do those at all either. You just go straight into like getting your heart rate up, getting your circulation going, whether that's jogging or walking or moving, and then doing some of the dynamic movements that you're mentioning.
Big game changer is just doing a little jog. beforehand. Never would done that before. Mm. Whether you're racing or not, like, just, are you going to go and do a 5K event? Okay, is there a chance you could get too excited? Probably. Do a kilometer jog.
Interestingly, you said to me recently, we were talking about when you've been taking advice from, there was a period where you were getting advice from Andy Hobdell, my coach.
Yeah.
And you said to me that he would send the same sort of training through to you as he would send to me. He'd be like, right, Tuesday, 30 minute threshold run.
Yeah.
Friday, interval session, 10 by 400 meters, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it was only after you've been doing it for like a fair amount of while, like you said to me, like, should I be doing warm up and cool down as well?
Because runners are really bad at this.
But he would have taken it, or I would take it for granted that if I was doing, if I knew that my workout for the day was 10 times 3 minutes at threshold, I would do 15 minutes of running before that.
Yeah, I think the issue is that I will do as it comes.
What's written down.
What is written down is exactly what I will do. So he works with elite athletes, so obviously they know all of this information. Yeah. And it wasn't until, for a while, I was just doing what was sent in the text.
Straight out of the door at like 5 minute miling.
So we need to basically write down for you, you know, exactly what you're doing beforehand. So calf raise, standing quad stretch.
Yes.
Put it down on a piece of paper. I've got a new respect though for run clubs, because before, a couple of years ago, there's no way I would have thought about joining a run club, going on a run club. They're so social now.
Yeah. Mm. There's a big shift, isn't there? Away from the traditional athletics club. Yeah.
A few years ago, they didn't end up at the pub. Now they do end up at the pub.
Well, I mean, some of these, the party comes to the like a space that they've hired. You know, these New Balance ones have been great.
Like, going out on the run as well, like they take music out with them.
It's a party.
We were dancing around the streets of Dublin. It was incredible.
People have made so many friends, especially when they've moved to new cities and not known anyone.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes the word community is really cringe because it just bunches a load of people together who probably don't think the same at all.
No, but I think it's...
These are.
Yeah.
They're great.
And
they're
amazing.
And I think
it's incredible as well. Like, I've met so many people who are in their maybe like late 20s, early 30s. And I feel like I'm 25, young spring chicken. But I feel like there
just
is
only
like
a little bit younger than Rick.
Tiny
Two
bit.
2 years.
But I feel like there's a big misconception that once you hit like 25, there's like a big like, oh, you can't make any more friends now, that's it, you're locked in, whoever you've got
old
needs
thinking.
To stay that and then actually people have like an epiphany when they hit 30, but maybe because like that's when people start to have kids, and then you meet people through like NCT classes or like through other parents at schools. But actually, like, run clubs for a lot of people, they were like, I just joined it just to stay fit, and now some of my closest friends are here. It's so good.
No, it's true.
I've closed the door to all friends. You snuck in, Sarah. Like,
I wouldn't say.
Are we not friends?
Friends, colleague or friend.
It's all right, Andy, you're a great acquaintance.
What about me and you, Rick?
We're still friends, I think.
Just checking. I was just worried that Sarah's put me in the...
We were friends for years. Then we started working together and we were still friends.
Yeah.
And then you became my boss. Still just about friends. Now you call me up and tell me to do stuff, I have to say yes.
Yeah.
So,
and we even put the prop in front of you on the desk here,
and
where it's like Rick pushing the buttons.
Now,
you don't even have to push the buttons anymore. AI's taken over.
But now I feel Rick's like, and now you're asking me if we are friends, and I have to say yes, even though I don't really like you that much.
You know what? I'm your stability. I am your stability. And you know what? In order to create... Wait, hang on, let me get this right. I'm your stability. Let me get this right.
The word was
in order to be spontaneous, you need stability around you. So I give you that stability, Andy.
Sorry, are you saying you're the sensible, mature one in this friendship? Are you having a giggle? Are you okay?
No, I'm not, actually. I take it all
you
back.
Are the first
time you met my lovely wife, you massively invaded both of our personal space for
an extended
period of time, which is your speciality.
That's why we put a desk in front of you.
You told us she was radishing. not ravishing.
She is.
Not radishing.
No, you mean she goes into Peter Rabbit's garden?
I love Peter Rabbit.
I tell you what, right now, Rick, you're radishing.
You're
a lovely shade of pink.
Yes. Yeah. A week on from coming back from Tenerife with a cold. Still pink. Yeah. I had factor 50 on. I did have factor 50 on.
Okay, so you're the stable, sensible friend.
Yeah, hey, I'm the stable, sensible friend.
We're best buds.
Yeah.
We're best buds.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, we're supposed to be talking about hills. Have we asked you how you two are?
I don't think we have.
I'm great.
No, I'm great.
Well, I think we're tired. I think that the reflection of this podcast and the mania that's taken over for this first 5 or 10 minutes is a reflection of us being tired.
Guys, I'm going to be honest. My running isn't going that well.
Why not?
Because it's
only a few weeks till London Marathon.
I know. And it's not, it was going really good. And then I went to Jamaica and it all went a little bit downhill.
Well, what, because you got social?
I got social. No, because it was Jamaica was a deload week, which fell perfectly. So I did way less mileage. But then our flight we missed a connection on the way back. And then the start of the week was awful.
It sounds like a really general trip.
Oh, and then just basically...
Yeah. Anything that's Sarah.
I'm starting to get... Yeah. I'm so rude. I'm starting to get really, really nervous about London Marathon because it was all going so well. And now there's been a little bit of a blip and I am back on track now. But now I've got the fear.
I sometimes you've got us, your nerves. Well, yeah, you've got us.
Rick's going to provide the stability that you need.
Yeah, stability, reassurance. Andy will have the spontaneity.
Will I have the spontaneity or the spontaneity, which is what you said the first few times? He's desperately trying to edit this out and I'm not having it.
I genuinely don't know why I asked you guys for advice.
Well, I'm just trying to be as spontaneous as possible.
Andy, let's help her. Let's help Sarah. You don't need to be worried. We talked so much about nerves in the last couple of weeks of the podcast. Let's do an episode on nerves. You need to stop. You are fit. You are ready to go. You've had a blip for a week. Everybody takes a holiday. In fact, you haven't had a holiday since Christmas, have you?
No.
But, you know, you don't need to be. You're ready for this marathon with a couple of weeks to go.
Aww.
Oh, that was great. That was I feel great. Ready for the marathon.
Hey, let's go run it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rick.
No worries.
Okay, we have got your back. So we're going to be there supporting you.
No, you were rubbish. I just like Rick now.
Well, I was about to say, we've got your back.
We've got a shop, haven't we? Have we got a shop?
We have. We're going to have a pop-up on Bateman Street in Soho. So come and see, if you're listening to this, come and see us at the London Marathon.
That's
we're
going
to
be a flex, isn't it? That is a bit, Soho.
Yeah.
Will we have drinks?
Feels way too cool.
Of course we'll have drinks. Yeah. Coffee, tea, water.
And maybe some alcoholic beverages and some non-alcoholic ones.
Gavi. Great. Yeah.
Live podcasts. It's all going
to
happen.
We should invite friend of the podcast, Stu, to bring some Gavi.
Stu, if you're listening, we will email you as well. But you are warmly invited.
But my point was going to be, we're going to be there supporting you. The problem is that I will definitely be awake and out of bed. And I won't find it inconvenient to go onto the course to support you. Well, Rick, on the other hand, he's got history.
Away.
No, this, absolutely not.
This is not going
to
go.
We took you to support my first ever marathon, and I'm still cross about it because you didn't bother to get out of bed in the morning to come and support me. You just rolled out of bed, waved at me from the window of your hotel, and then popped up at 40k.
I never knew you took this so personally. Hey. So personally.
How can you be angry at him? You were the one that did it.
I had a nice breakfast. I came out. I might have missed him, and then I saw him at the end. And I remember he said to me that when I saw him with 300 meters to go, he said, actually, that was the boost that gave me the real desire to finish the race.
Yeah, for
that
300 meters, he ran like 42.7 kilometers before that.
Because I was
there's a bit on camera, I think. There's a bit on camera at about 40k where I'm just crying to Freddie, who was running it with me. Go, I haven't seen Rick.
I mean, I have to cut that bit out because you thought it made you look bad.
Where's Rick?
Meanwhile.
Yeah, for any audio listeners, Rick was just miming, drinking a glass of Gavi.
So are you going to come out on London Marathon Day?
Yeah, I'm there the whole... We're going to do a podcast from the shop.
Yes, we are.
On the Thursday.
On the Thursday. And then
the race is on the Sunday.
And then I will come and support you on the Saturday and the Sunday of the London Marathon. I promise you I won't do any other jobs that weekend. I'll just do this job.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
We're behind
okay, now she looks really... Genuinely, you look really worried. So you've actually just made me worry.
Well, that wasn't like... That was a very like... You didn't really answer the question. Specifically between the hours of 9 a.m. and about 2 p.m. or like 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Are you going to be out on the London Marathon course supporting me? See? Very... Very, very classic answer that you hear from
I've got to be somewhere.
Have you? Where?
I've got to be at the shop.
Really?
I'm the shopkeeper. I'm chief shopkeeper.
Okay, that's no, fine. No, that's
I have
fine,
a, I have a designated
so,
job.
So
I'll come out onto the Strand.
So you're
going to
be at the shop at 9?
Yes.
Really?
I was there last year at 9. I will be at the shop at 9 o'clock. And I will come out onto the Strand and I will say hello and I will wave you at that point. but I have another job. And when you run Madrid later in the year, I will see
Malaga.
Oh, Malaga.
You can go to Madrid if you want. When that's probably better for
when
everyone.
When you run Malaga, I'll be in Madrid. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah.
So listen, it's all going to be okay. I feel like people are beginning to panic a little bit. The marathon is a couple of weeks away. People are getting worried. Don't let your nerves overtake you. Yeah. Because you know what? In this marathon, there aren't many big hills.
Oh, I was about to do a hill segue.
Is what we are going to talk about right now.
What a segue.
I was feeling like this podcast was a bit of an uphill battle today. That was going to be my segue, but you made
Summer's
me to it. It's
going
to
be an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Sometimes
just a reminder, everybody, if you haven't seen it, check out the Birmingham University A Cappella Society. You'll find some videos of Sarah Hartley.
Yes, you will. I'm not ashamed of that.
No, you shouldn't be. Own it.
Thank you. I will. Hills.
I think your first birthday present when you were at the Running Channel years ago was
an a cappella hoodie.
Yeah. I from the from anymore. Pitch. No. What's it called? Pitch Perfect?
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
Excuse me. Okay. Hills. So why should we be doing hill training? For a lot of people, you might see it pop up in a training plan. You might see people doing it out in training. I heard from James and Mo, who've been out in Kenya recently. We're going global this year with where we're all going. They went to a track workout the other day and I messaged them afterwards and asked, how was it? And James was like, I could barely do the first lap because the warm up that these athletes had done before getting to the track was hill sprints, followed by dynamic drills and stretches and a jog to the track.
Yeah.
And then they started their track workout. So why should we be doing hill training?
You're looking at me.
Yeah.
Lots of reasons. So
great.
You get
care to share?
Yeah, maybe. Should we do it? Is that the point of this podcast? So I'm trying to get my head together in terms of the order in which to talk about them, but probably in no particular order. One, it can really help to ingrain good running form. Because you have to really drive. It's a different type of running form, but you really have to drive with your arms to effectively run up hills.
Yeah.
So if you're driving back with your elbows really dynamically, you cannot have the knee drive that you need for hills without the power in your arms. And most runners neglect their arms. And as you start to get tired, you need that muscle memory and the drive in your arms in order to keep your legs ticking over. So if you try running with your arms by your side, not driving them at all, and feel how hard that is, then hills can really help with your kind of exaggerated arm movement. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. They're actually a good form of kind of sneaky strength and conditioning.
Oh, really?
Because you're getting quite a lot of bang for your buck doing hill training. So one, you could often, depends on the type of injury, but maybe impact type injuries. Hills are usually can be good for you because you're, the way you're making contact with your feet underneath your body and so on, as you're meeting the incline of the hill, that actually can be slightly less jarring and slightly less impact. And so you could return to injury by doing hill training. Again, depends on the type of injury that you have.
Oh, yeah, because it's the opposite, well, basically the opposite of going downhill, which is when people pull.
You do need to be careful if you're doing hill training because often you do reps up and down a hill.
Yeah.
So maybe walk or a gentle jog back down, and depends on how steep it is as well. But you're really having to work your arms, like I said. So it does give you slightly more of an upper body workout than you'd get normally. And you can focus on that arm drive. Your core to stay with good posture whilst you're running on a hill. And then if you think about the muscles that you can really feel burning if you run up a hill, then it's your quads, hamstrings, glutes, and your calves. So all of the important running muscles get a workout in a slightly different way to running on the flat. And then running hard up a hill means that when you run on the flat, it feels so much easier.
It's kind of tackling, ticking all of these boxes.
That's a lot of benefits.
But I think that last one is quite often for most people going to be the most important one, because can you name a race that you've signed up for which is billed as fast flat course that hasn't had at least one little hill in it?
Yeah,
true.
Because for me, I do most of my running on flat surfaces to the point where in my local area, I know where every single hill is. If I have got a really hard workout, I am doing it on really, really flat surfaces and I know I'm not alone there. So if you are someone where you've got your local area nailed down and you're just running flat, it can really help to do that bit of hill training, because even as small a thing as like a 50 meter elevation change across a 5K, you might feel it if you haven't been training on those.
Yeah, I remember starting out doing hill training, you know, when I first started running cross-country races up and down the country when I was a teenager. And we always used to go to this one road, I think it was called Coombe Drive,
yeah.
In West Kirby,
on the Wirral.
Yeah. So
and even now,
That's steep, to be fair.
It is. If I'm on a run around at home, I still go up that. Like,
do
just
you?
Once. Yeah. Just like,
I think we used to do 30-second hill sprints.
30-second hill sprints. Yeah. And I think the sooner you start them, you can start them whenever in life, but the sooner you've done a few, because people put off hills, don't they? They avoid them. Mm. The sooner you do some, then you take the negativity out of your mind or the fear out of your mind of doing the hills. And once you've done it, you feel like you've cracked it a little bit.
Even just like Rick said, though, of like throwing some, it doesn't necessarily always have to be a kind of dedicated workout. You need to be aware if you are throwing some hills into like a long run or an easy run that is making it a bit harder.
Yeah.
But actually that can be hugely beneficial as well. Like if you start out 1 week, try going and doing your easy run and maybe throw in like you've got that one worst hill in your area.
Yeah.
Week one, it'll feel awful. But then a few weeks later, you might not even notice it.
Yeah, you'll see progress really fast doing hills. That's what I mean about bang for your buck, like because you're kind of getting an interval workout, a general aerobic workout. There's an anaerobic component, depending on how fast you run as well. Mm-hmm. You're getting that strength and conditioning benefit. So it's kind of lots of things combined into one. My particular favorite that I think gives you the most benefit and is a unique feeling for a lot of people is to combine hills with some kind of threshold running. You have to find somewhere where you can do it, which isn't that easy because you need a hill, but you also need somewhere flattish to do the threshold run as well.
Yeah.
And then I'd be saying you do a set. I would do the threshold first, so 10 minutes approximately of threshold running, and then a little bit of recovery, and then you're going to go into these hill sprints. So they could be 5 times 30 seconds, 5 times 60 seconds, not further than 60 seconds. I think that sweet spot is between 30 and 60. It's amazing actually trying a 45-second hill versus a 30-second hill.
Yeah.
Really mentally different.
That is a lot.
And you do that, you walk, jog back down in between the hills, and you go hard on those hills, and then you accumulate lactate. So your legs will feel heavy. You'll feel like slightly wobbly legs, then take a little bit of recovery, then do another threshold. And the first minute or two of that threshold run will feel awful because your body's trying to...
really selling this.
Clear out. It's trying to clear out the waste products that you've accumulated from that kind of anaerobic work up and down the hills. You can also add in then a second set of hills at the end. So it depends on how you want to structure it. But what you learn then is that you're getting aerobic training from the thresholds. You're getting the anaerobic and strength training from the hills and running form and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also get a real measure of your fitness with that second threshold. Because when you do it after the hills, you'll notice the first time you do it, it feels awful for quite a long time because your body's not used to clearing out all of that lactate.
Yeah.
But when you get to be fit, or well-trained in that kind of session, you'll find doing that second threshold that it only takes 30 seconds or a minute or hardly any time at all. And then your breathing relaxes, your heart rate sort of steadies. You don't feel heavy legged because you've done the job of clearing out all of that stuff and you're aerobically fit enough to cope with it.
Nice. Well, give that a go and let us know how you get on. And are we all making a pact of doing some hill training at some point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My knee seems to be working again. So great.
Lovely stuff.
Back in the game.
Well, great. This is the Running Channel podcast. Up next, we've got your questions to answer. But first, we've got some running news. This episode is sponsored by New Balance and their Run Your Way campaign. Now, me and Andy and Rick have been going along to some of New Balance's community workshops in the lead up to the 2024 TCS London Marathon. And it has genuinely been the highlight of my week.
You were really struggling with your mojo before one particular run club. So you'd missed a workout. You'd had to abandon it because you just weren't feeling it. You were too tired. You weren't motivated.
Yeah, all right. It was a bad week. I get it. But yeah, it was in Dublin. It was on a Thursday night. I had only done one run before that. And I knew I had two pretty big runs to do at the weekend, and it was exactly what I needed. Partying around the streets, dancing to music at the traffic lights. I just kept turning to people and going, is this what every run club's like?
Yeah, people from different walks of life, people all running for their own reason, essentially running their way and not being too hard on themselves about their pace or the way that they run. And that's what the Run Your Way campaign from New Balance is all about, supporting those people, celebrating all of their different reasons for running. So if you'd like to find out more about New Balance's running range to help you through all your running training, then check out the link in the show notes.
News time. Andy, barefoot running.
Yeah, this one's bonkers. So there's been a world record set for the fastest half marathon barefoot on ice and snow.
Oof. Oh, it just makes me feel cold.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's this guy, Joseph Salek, Joska Salek from the Czech Republic. And he did it in the Czech Republic in February this year. So it came up in my YouTube feed. There's a video that you can go and check out. I think it's on the Guinness World Record YouTube. And he ran 1 hour, 50 minutes, 42 seconds.
What I would love to know is like how many minutes into it did he like lose the feeling in his feet?
Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's so well trained that, like, I had a friend who used to never wear gloves even when it was like minus 10.
Really?
And I'd touch his hands at the end of the run and I'd be wearing gloves. My hands were quite cold and his hands were warm.
Wow.
I find gloves completely pointless when running because after about 5K, my hands are just too hot.
We take them off and stuck them down the back of your shorts.
Yeah, but I mean, you just deal with the first 5K, get on with it.
But then my mine never warm up if I do that.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so. Sarah, Lil Nas X. Oh, ran he's a runner.
A half marathon.
Huh. Where did he do it? On the Old Town Road?
It's good for Andy. That's good.
Come on. That was quite relevant
Thanks.
For you.
Thanks. Good.
He ran it, the New York City half marathon, but he ran it in high top sneakers.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Which is, I mean, it was a look, but I don't know.
Not great for your Achilles.
No, I don't know how much cushioning they were potentially going to give. Although it's an interesting, has anyone ever made a running shoe that is more of a high top? Well, I know there's kind of like hybrid trail walking shoes, which happen.
I don't think there's any rules. I just think they wouldn't allow your ankles to move very freely. I think you'd get a lot of rubbing.
Do you think?
I wonder what his DOMS were like. Delayed onset muscle soreness.
We should get that on a t-shirt. But yeah, huge congratulations. He did it in 2 hours and 32 minutes, I believe.
Well done, Lil.
Very good.
In New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Rick, questions?
Oh, and by the way, don't forget to email into podcast@therunningchannel.com if you have your own questions, because we like getting them from all over the world, not just Australia. So today we've got a question from Canada.
Hey.
Our home of Tim Hortons.
Home and of this Tim is a question from Tim. Maybe it's Tim Horton.
One. I drove past one of the many UK Tim Hortons.
Really? Day. Did you go in?
No.
It's absolutely fantastic in there. I tell you what, it's literally a day trip. Anyway, this is Tim from Canada. I mean, do you pick this? I mean, is that genuinely Tim from Canada?
Yeah, it's Tim from Canada. Okay.
All right. I occasionally travel for work and will be traveling from Red Deer, Alberta in Canada to London this April. If there was one park run that you would recommend the most, what would it be? If you have any recommendations for locations or local spots around Ipswich or London, let me know. I'd love to make a point to drag my travel party of four out for an early morning run during my trip. I love that. He's planning his runs in advance.
I rate that. I rate that very highly.
Sarah, Andy, recommend a park run?
I can't recommend an Ipswich park run, I'm afraid, or any local runs around there. But London-wise, personally, I would be saying if you're going to specifically park run, go to the home park run. Go and run Bushy Park Run, where the Bushy Park time trial started. Mm. It's very flat. And it's very well attended. So there'll be over 1,000 people there, I imagine. And it's a beautiful spot. That area of London's lovely. And you can tie in a little bit of sightseeing as well, because it's near to Hampton Court Palace.
Yes.
Loads of stuff that you can do there.
I'm going to play off the fact that you said drag your party of four out for an early morning run trip. So I'm going to give them something fun to do afterwards. If you go to Victoria Dock Park Run, then you get a lovely kind of flat course running right next to the river. And you could then take the cable car back afterwards.
Oh, the cable car is so much fun.
You literally tap and go.
Yeah.
So good.
I've done that twice in the last few weeks. Really good.
And then just general runs in London. Yeah. I'm Southwest London biased, but I think the combination of running in Richmond Park and Wimbledon Common is an amazing place to go.
It's lovely.
Beautiful trails, easy to navigate, very different terrain from Richmond Park. Mm. Or if you go across the middle, it's different. And then you cross over the road over the A3 at the corner. I think it's Robin Hood Corner, over the A3 into Wimbledon Common. So you can do a pretty long run around there and it's beautiful.
I'm North London biased, so yeah. I'm going to suggest running around Hampstead, then maybe going for a dip in one of its many pools to cool down.
Lovely.
Yeah.
In April. After you finish your boiling hot run, cool down in Hampstead.
Jordan's emailed in, but he didn't say where he was from. Jordan, we've got no idea. I'm attempting my first marathon, and I want to know if I need to get super shoes or are my everyday Brooks going to get me through the run? I've wore a pair of super shoes only once in my life with you in a park.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
There's no right. I think you don't need to get super shoes at all. And I think if you've always worn the same kind of everyday running shoes and never had any problems, then I think there's a risk to trying new shoes. Mm. And ultimately you are looking for something that's comfortable.
A lot of the super shoes,
when you get fatigued, are not comfortable unless you stay really efficient with your mechanics.
If I was running a marathon tomorrow, I'd run in these.
He's waving his shoes around.
Audio listeners.
Rick is waving around a pair of high stack cushions.
Max cushion shoe, yeah.
Yeah. Because just the cushioning, you know, after 20 miles or so, they're still bouncy.
What I would say, though, is that that you know, a few years ago when we were talking about super shoes, we were talking about one very specific type of shoe. However, now that carbon plates are a thing, brands have really branched out. So for most brands, if you go and have a look at their kind of super shoe fleet, you will have the top kind of what elites are wearing.
Yeah, super
marathons.
Lightweight, not very supportive, very responsive, but that might not be very supportive. Yeah,
and that's probably
wobbly.
The most kind of aggressive type of shoe. But then if you look further down the kind of carbon plate range, there'll be ones where the outsole is a little bit thicker, so the shoe's a bit heavier, but actually durability wise it's a little bit better. It might be a bit more cushioned, it might have a bit more foam in there, and it will have a carbon plate in there as well. They usually build as kind of more like tempo shoes.
Yeah, sometimes even a nylon plate, which is not quite as stiff.
A nylon plate?
Yeah.
But those can be really great for, so whether, I think they said they're running in Brooks at the moment, have a look at like what their line is, because that might be the most similar to what you're running
in. Not all super shoes are made equal. There are definitely ones that are, I would describe them as more versatile.
Yeah.
Mm. Whereas some that you, there are some that I can only run flat out in. Mm-hmm. Otherwise they feel awful, they don't support me and they would hurt me. And there are others where I can run actually quite easy runs in them and I could run flat out fast in them.
Yeah.
And those are what I describe as more versatile. They're generally a bit more supportive, or they don't feel wobbly when you put them on.
Exactly.
And that's what I would look for. I don't think buying them online if you've never bought super shoes before is the way to go. Go into a store and try them out.
Yeah. And best of luck, Jordan, for your first marathon.
Yeah. Smash it.
Top stuff. Sarah, have you got a favour to ask?
Yes, I have. I thought long and hard about this one, and I thought, as we have been talking about hill training, it's only fair that the three of us at some point this year should go and take on a hill race, because we've all said that we're going to go
Of just hills?
Yeah, so whether that's a fell race, whether that's just a race that has loads of hills in it, whether that is a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon,
marathon,
or an ultra. So what I would like you guys watching or listening to this to do, don't shake your head, Andy, we're going to do this. I would like you to email in podcast@therunningchannel.com.
Yeah.
What hilly race would you like the three of us to do? Maybe we'll record a little podcast afterwards during, we'll get some sound bites, and we will go and take it on, because that way is the only way we're going to know whether we've done our hill training. Thank you and good night.
Gosh, no thanks. I've got an additional favour to ask. We don't normally ask this, but I thought it might be prudent. If you like the podcast, then please make sure whatever platform you're listening on to hit the little follow button.
That's good.
Yeah, so then you make sure it'll always appear in your podcast feed when a new episode comes out.
Yeah,
and it would help us out too, so please do that.
Thanks.
Bye.
This episode was brought to you by Under Armour and their Infinite Elite everyday running shoe, which has a focus on both comfort and endurance. So an ultra springy, responsive feel that protects your legs and keeps them feeling fresh, which is what Jess has been putting to the test as she's been training for over the last 12 weeks for taking on her ultimate ever 10K. And she's been focused on consistency. So being able to show up with those fresh legs every day and every week in order to put in the work and the recovery that she needs to do to run her best.
If you want to check out the Under Armour Infinite Elite, head to the link in the show notes.